Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll read the first four verses. Paul is writing, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat that same spiritual meat, and did all drink that spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Heavenly Father, as I always pray, help us to understand the text. Help us to glean from your word. Please show us Jesus Christ, as that man long ago said. And in the Lord's precious name we pray. Amen. I often lean on this passage, these few verses. And I'm stopping here at verse 4, but Paul goes on and will make reference to things that we just don't have time for today. But Paul is giving an overview of the book of Exodus and, I guess, Numbers and what have you. How that God delivered the children of Israel. They were slaves in Egypt, but he set them free. And then he brought them to the promised land, but it took 40 years to get there. And we all know this story. And most of what I'll talk about today has to do with the Passover. And every one of us, I'm sure, has seen the movie The Ten Commandments. We all understand the basic premise that God delivered his children, Israel, from being slaves in Egypt, and he did so by the death of a lamb. And we understand, and Paul says, that rock was Christ. That lamb was Christ. We've been studying John the Baptist, and we understand his cry, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And that's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about Christ. And I've said this, and I'll say it again, that if you want to understand the New Testament, you can't read it in a vacuum. You've got to have some understanding of the Old Testament. Because when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," if you don't know Exodus, you don't understand him. You just simply don't understand the context unless you can go back to the old and read these, I guess we call them Bible stories in Sunday school or whatever. But you have to understand at least something of the Old Testament to make any sense at all of the new. And Paul is talking to these Corinthians, these wayward Christians, I suppose, and he brings them back to the Word of God, the Old Testament, and he preaches Christ. But he says, hey guys, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand. But he says that all of our fathers, and again, he's talking to Gentiles in the city or whatever of Corinth in Greece. They were not Jews. They didn't have any understanding of Judaism or anything like that. But our spiritual fathers, even today we're Gentiles, but our spiritual fathers, we can read about them in the Old Testament. But it says that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, we probably understand what the Red Sea was, and they did pass through it. But it says that they were under a cloud, and I'll try to bring that out today. But it says that they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. We understand what baptism means. It means to be immersed. And we've talked about the baptism of John, which had to do with repentance. But it's talking here about being baptized under Moses, or the Old Testament and that economy, in the cloud and in the sea. But in verse 3 and 4, it says that they all did eat the same spiritual meat, and all drank the same spiritual drink. The spiritual meat, you can look at Exodus chapter 16 and the quail that they ate. The spiritual drink, you can go to Exodus 17 and Numbers chapter 20, and you can find that rock, Christ, that Moses struck with his rod, and out of that rod came enough water to satisfy 3.5 million people in the desert. But when Jesus, in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, says, come unto me and drink if you're thirsty, he's referencing Exodus chapter 20. Again, you have to understand something of the old to make sense of the new. But again, today we're going to limit ourselves to just the Passover. And it's hard to teach the Passover because it's at least 5 chapters long, at least. And the most that I can do is hit the high points. But let's try to do that. Exodus chapter 11. And the Lord said to Moses, yet I will bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. And when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. And again, we all understand the story of the Passover, at least briefly. In verse 4 through 7 of Exodus chapter 11, it says, Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go into the land of Egypt, and all of the firstborn in the land shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that's on the throne to the maidservant behind the mill, everyone, every family who's ever firstborn will die. And this 10th plague that did the trick, and by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, which pictures Jesus Christ on the cross, by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, they were set free. But I want to look at verse 7 here. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, that you may know how the Lord has put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Again, Israel is God's chosen people, the apple of his eye. And God puts a difference between Israel and every other country. Now, Israel and Egypt today are roughly at peace, I suppose. The emphasis in the war has to do with the terrorists known as Hamas, which are sponsored by Iran. There's something called moral equivalence, and that's the idea that you've got an enemy or a bad guy or an evil entity or whatever, and you want to say, well, the good guys do bad too, and you try to make them equal and therefore justify the evildoer. Well, God doesn't know anything about moral equivalency. God put a difference between Israel and Egypt, and God put a difference today between Israel and the terrorist organization known as Hamas. But let's leave that aside. But in Exodus chapter 12, the narrative goes on. And again, it's in chapter 13 and chapter 14 and even chapter 15. That's the five or so chapters of the Passover. But it says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be the beginning of months to you. It shall be the first month of the year to you." You see, when you come to Christ, He gives you an entirely brand new life. You get to start all over again. Your sins are washed away. You should have a desire to flee your old life. If your old life was chasing women in bars, hey, I don't want to do that no more. And you know, really, that's exactly what happened to me. When I got saved, within the space of 5 minutes, He delivered me from dope, from bars, and from chasing women. He changed my life. And He says, Israel, when I set you free from the land of Egypt, we're going to change your calendar. And this month, the month that they were set free, that's going to be the beginning of your months. Your calendar year starts then. And it was about April, and I don't know the Hebrew name of the month, I don't know. But their calendar was changed, and when we come to Christ, our life should change. But He says in verse 3, "Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month shall they take unto every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." And we understand from the text that this lamb for each house, on that night, the Passover night, they took it and they killed it. And they took its blood in a basin, I suppose, and they had some kind of branch or whatever to paint with. And they painted the doorposts and the lintel, the part above the door. And again, we all understand the story that the death angel would come at midnight to kill every firstborn in every house. But when the angel came and saw the blood, that he passed over that house and tried to go to the next one. And that's where we get our word Passover. But the Jews in that house were saved from death by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. And again, I'll say it again, we're saved today from hell because of the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. As John the Baptist said, "Behold, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." But then it goes on, it says that they would eat unleavened bread for 7 days. And the Jews do this today still. They have the Passover and then the 7-day feast of unleavened bread. And it says that they weren't supposed to do any work on the first day and on the last day. And that has to do with our salvation today, that we don't work to be saved. We trust that Jesus died for us, and we get to go free, not by our works, which relieves us of the bondage of having to work enough. Did I do enough? Am I holy enough? Did I go to church enough? Did I put enough money in the bucket? Etc. We don't have a works-based salvation, but a faith one. And our faith is in the one, Jesus, that died for our sins. And just as the Jews that night, they went free from Egypt, we get to go free from our sin, from our problems, from our old life, and we get to go free from hell. But in chapter 13, and obviously we're skipping a lot, but it says that in verse 17, that it came to pass that Pharaoh had let the people go, but God didn't lead them through the land of the Philistines, which is roughly where Gaza is today, although that was near the short way. For God said, maybe the people will change their mind when they see war and they want to go back to Egypt, which, if you read Numbers and whatever, that's a common theme. 10 times, God's people who had been delivered from slavery, they complained and complained and murmured and backbit and what have you, and threatened to go back to Egypt. And they made a golden calf and wanted to worship that instead of God. 10 times they resisted God. Again, a common theme. But it says that he led them the long way around and not the shortcut. But it says in verse 21 and 22 of Exodus chapter 13, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead the way. And by night there was a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. We read when we started the program, and they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. He says that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And here in Exodus 13, we've got the description of what that was. But in chapter 14 of Exodus, again, the narrative goes on. It says that Pharaoh was told, hey, those Jews, they left. They fled. And they're not coming back. And it says that the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. And he said, man, we shouldn't have let them go. Look, I'm going to get my chariot, y'all jump in y'all's, all the armies of Egypt, let's chase them and let's hunt them down, maybe bring them back, maybe kill them, I don't know, but this ain't going to stand. How dare they run away? And we know the story that they were trapped. They were up against the Red Sea and the armies of Pharaoh were coming. But you see that cloud by day and that fire by night, it was leading them, and they got to the Red Sea, but that cloud by day and fire by night moved and got between Israel and the approaching armies and was a barrier, and it protected them the whole night. And we know the story that God told Moses to take his stick and wave it or whatever, and the Red Sea parted, and then they went through on dry land. But as they were afraid, Moses said unto the people in verse 13 of Exodus 14, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians that you see today, you won't see them anymore, never again. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." You can look at that verse right there, these couple of verses, and you can see justification by faith. And we talked about that a bit ago, that we're not saved by works, but by trusting that Jesus died for us. And instead of God leading them directly to the promised land the short way, they went around through the wilderness, and they spent 40 years. You can see sanctification in the wilderness. But Paul, in 1 Corinthians, he goes on. We can read, I guess, starting at verse 5. He basically tells all, or at least most of the story, of how they came out of Egypt. They wandered around in the desert for 40 years, and then they crossed Jordan and entered the promised land. He tells most of that story. But in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that, "But with many of them that God had delivered, he was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." But he says all these things in Exodus, these are for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as those guys lusted. And like I said, there were 10 events where the people murmured against Moses and against God and resisted and etc. It says in verse 7, "Don't be idolaters as were some of them." Remember the golden calf? They erected or fashioned or made a golden calf, a false god to worship instead of the real God that had just delivered them. It says, "Don't commit fornication as some of them back then committed." And oh, in that day, 23,000 people died because of that sin. "Don't let us tempt Christ as some of those guys also tempted and were destroyed of serpents." "Don't murmur as some of those guys murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." But verse 11, "Now all these things happened to those guys, the Jews, back in Exodus and Numbers, whenever, for our example." Take from the example. Learn from the mistakes of others, for you certainly don't have time to make all those mistakes yourself. Take that admonition. Leave your old life. Put your trust in God. Don't fight against him. Let him do what he wants in your life. When it says X, Y, or Z in the Bible, then believe it and obey it, and it will be well with you. Take their example, because that's what it's there for. And I want to close today's lesson with this. We went over Romans chapter 6, and sometimes one verse or maybe two are used. When people are baptized, they'll read a verse or two and says, "Oh, that's it, we're done. Ceremony's over. Y'all go get dried off and go home and maybe go to the Piccadilly or something. Let's have a good time," what have you. But Paul, that's not what he says. Paul said that baptism, when you're dunked in the water, we understand it's a symbol of death, burial, and then resurrection, just as Jesus died and was buried and rose again. You should live a new life. You should forsake your old sinful ways and try to live right. Try to walk in the light. Because he said we're buried with him in baptism. We're baptized in the Christ's death. And if he died, God expects us to die. Die to our old ways, die to our old methods, our old pleasures. We need to die to that and live for God. Live like a Christian and don't live like the devil anymore. In Romans 6, that entire chapter, it talks about being crucified with Christ in an ongoing struggle against sin and our old desires. We're to mortify the deeds of our flesh. We're to do everything we can to live for God and not as we used to live. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.